imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Good morning. This is Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. And that introduction is what we can imagine. Today in studio and by phone, we have with us two guests to talk about the U.S. Department of Peace, what it is, what it does, and how you can get involved. From New England, we have by phone Dot Maver. Are you there, Dot?
Yes. Good morning, Michelle.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. And in studio, we have Gary Spanovich. Good morning, Gary.
Morning, Michelle. Thanks for having me here.
All right. It's just wonderful to have you both here. We should probably start out by talking a little bit about this up-and-coming event, and then we will reference it again before the end of the program. But Dot is coming in town. She's the executive director of the Department of Peace campaign and the Peace Alliance. And Gary is the sponsoring the Holistic Peace Institute, and you're bringing Dot to speak at two events. You want to tell a little bit about that?
Sure. Yes, we've invited Dot Maver to come, and in the last couple years, we've worked pretty closely with Dennis Kucinich, who was really the father of this legislation, the father of this idea of a U.S. Department of Peace. And a little bit about the Holistic Peace Institute. We started in 1999 as a senior group of religious leaders that wanted to plan for the Dalai Lama's visit. And we have an office at PSU. We put on annual activities, an annual Summer Peace Institute. We bring a Nobel annual concert for peace. We give an annual Holistic Peace Prize. We have monthly World Peace Lunches, third Friday of the month. And we have books and videotapes on Nobel. So that's kind of what we're about. But we also put on sponsor and co-sponsor peace forums with other organizations, and that's what's happening this weekend. So we're co-sponsoring a local event here Friday night at Abu Rashid Lebanese Restaurant. The dinner starts at 6, and anyone's welcome to attend. That address is 1921 Southwest 6th Avenue, and also that Friday, this coming Friday at noon, we have Commissioner Eric Sten speaking on an international peace center and international peace garden. That's a project the Institute's been working with City of Portland on the last year. And then Saturday at the First Unitarian Church, Fuller Hall, 1011 Southwest 12th Avenue, Dot will be there, and we'll have a forum basically to educate and to inform people about this Department of Peace idea and how they can get involved and promote it.
And hopefully some of our listeners hearing this, and that on Saturday is from 9 a.m. to noon.
Correct.
Dot,
yes.
Welcome to the program, and I wonder if you can talk to us a little bit about the U.S. Department of Peace. That is a really interesting concept, and I went to the website, which you, I would hope, would give us right now, and people can go and find out a little bit. Why don't you give us the website and tell us a little bit about the U.S. Department of Peace?
Thank you, Michelle. Yes, please visit us at www.thepeacealliance.org. That's thepeacealliance.org. And as Gary suggested, this piece of legislation was introduced by Congressman Kucinich actually in July of 2001 and has been reintroduced twice since and is now in the Senate as well, introduced by Senator Mark Dayton of Minnesota. Actually, it's an idea that it came in with our founding fathers, and legislation calling for a United States Department of Peace or National Peace Academy or Peace School or Secretary of Peace has been introduced over 85 times in the history of this great nation. And there are those in the signers of the Declaration of Independence who have called for this idea. And basically what it is, Michelle, is it is calling for a cabinet-level Secretary of Peace who would oversee a Department of Peace, which would integrate and infuse throughout our government an infrastructure for peace. In other words, nonviolent resolution of conflict, the research, the implementation, the funding, the focus on resolution of conflict in nonviolent ways. That's at the core of this. How people can get involved, they can come to the website, but even easier than that, in a way, is simply call your member of Congress and encourage them to support H.R. 3760, which is the bill in the House of Representatives presently with 71 co-sponsors. We've had seven more sign on in the last 10 days. We're on a roll here. And it's S-1756 in the Senate. But please visit the website, www.thepeacealliance.org, and let us send you our e-alerts, help you get involved if you want to be a congressional district team leader. We're active in 50 states with close to 300 congressional district team leaders now. And as you know, there are 440 congressional districts in the United States.
You know, one of the questions would be, does the Department of Peace duplicate the Department of State? Do they do the same things? And would this just, I know that some people would say, well, this is just one more level of bureaucracy. How do you see those as different?
Fair question, Michelle. And actually, the State Department and the U.S. government deals state to state or nation state to nation state. They do not have a focus domestically. And what this piece of legislation calls for is, yes, of course, in international affairs and foreign policy, this same option for nonviolent resolution of conflict. But our primary focus right now is right here in the United States of America. We need assistance and from the government a focus on peace and reduction of violence in our communities, gang violence, youth violence, domestic abuse, all kinds of violence. And do you know, Van Jones has a program at the LMA Baker Center in Oakland, and he has said to us that statistically, it's called Books Not Bars, to incarcerate a youth in this country, at least in California, 1 year, this is the statement, one youth in jail equals two youth in Yale. So peace will be profitable as well as we learn to shift, help ourselves in terms of our community conferencing, conflict transformation, $12 a year to help our children get conflict resolution skills, and that's through the Ohio Dispute Resolution Commission. They're fine work in Ohio at the state level. And $200 a year to discipline them when there's violence in the schools.
Yes, Gary, you have something?
Yeah, I'd like to add to that. The Peace Institute, our first big event was in 2001 with the Dalai Lama's visit, and we hosted a conference for six Nobels at Portland State on world peace. The part of the theme of the conference was how to bring compassion into the diplomatic peace-seeking process, because that peace is never enters into. So this Department of Peace idea could work in that context too. But Senator Hatfield moderated the conference for us, and he told me that every U.S. president since George Washington tried to implement a Department of Peace idea, and everyone failed. And he said when he was in the Senate, he tried to initiate that many times. And finally, he was able to get some legislation passed that formed the U.S. Peace Institute. Mm-hmm. And that, he said, he actually buried in a defense bill that no one found it until it was too late. And that was actually how the current organization works. So there is a U.S. Peace Institute. It is appointed by the president. The executive director and the board is appointed by the president of the United States, but they're basically a research institute.
Yes, arm.
Yeah, and they don't actually work at a cabinet level to, in a sense, put on the table, like with this Iraq war, that if there was a cabinet level position that would take the responsibility to explore nonviolent
alternatives,
and those alternatives were discussed at that highest level, it might have had an influence.
Well, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting is that the current bill, and correct me if I'm wrong, Doc, the current bill calls for budgeting the Department of Peace at 2% of our defense budget. Would that, are you asking that they kind of shift some of those dollars that are now in the defense budget?
Well, actually, another excellent question. We are calling for the equivalent of 2% of the defense budget, because where it comes from is really up to the politicians, where they can shift money without hurting present policy or taking away from. And there are places where that is possible. So we're not saying where it should come from, but that's the call. Michelle, that's equal to $8 billion presently, which, think of that, that's only 2% of the equivalent of our defense budget. And Gary brings up a good point. USIP, and you can check them out at usip.com, they came in during the Reagan administration. Do you know they work on a yearly budget of less than $30 million? And so they're doing fine work with their research, and in fact they are now doing some great collaborative work with folks in the Pentagon and the peacebuilding community combined. But for less than $30 million a year, what we are really calling for is for us to govern ourselves in a culture of peace and to begin to really shift our focus so that we get what it is that we need to make our communities safer and to create a future for our children that is not about war and violence.
So you're trying to elevate peace to the stature of homeland security or a cabinet level to give it the presence.
The bureaucratic heft,
yes.
Quite frankly, yes, because when people do say that's one of the criticisms, we don't need another bureaucracy, and I would say that's exactly what we need in this present system. Otherwise, then what? The education piece is not working well, so we do away with the Department of Education. I think what we do is we bring in a Department of Peace that says this is as important to the U.S. society and our government
and the health
as anything
of the nation.
Else that we're dealing with.
Yeah, and to the total integration of the health of the nation couldn't be any more important.
Well, you know, Michelle, that's true, and you bring up an excellent point, because right now what we have a tendency to do is very similar in the medical model to how we used to treat cancer. If there's a problem, we attempt to cut it out or destroy it in some way. And we have found over the years, using the medical model as a beautiful example, actually, that at first there was alternative medicine, and now it's called integrative medicine. And so now we have a complementary holistic health model. And Gary, the name Holistic Peace Institute is so beautiful in that regard. Let's take a holistic approach to how we live life and how we govern ourselves as well.
That's a real good point, Dot. And that's really kind of where the inspiration for the Holistic Peace Institute came from, is that holistic medical model that has come into play in the last, say, 15 years in the medical field. And so I started applying it in the late 80s to planning and decision making, and have taught it there at Merrillhurst College in the communications department since then. And when we formed the Holistic Peace Institute in 1999, one of the biggest proponents of the whole concept is the Dalai Lama. Mm. So the Dalai Lama loves this idea of holistic approach, and I've been in email contact with him really since that conference. And we actually, he and his chief of staff and myself put together a rough Middle East holistic peace plan, and essentially, without going into too much detail, there are three peace plans on the table. The Alexandria Accord, the Geneva Accord, Alexandria Declaration, U.S. Roadmap to Peace. And so, and rather than seeing those as three competing documents, none of them have brought peace to the Middle East.
Exactly.
But all three are part of a greater whole, and you could say there's a missing piece to.
Mm-hmm.
So three foundation stones, and the fourth would be articulated with a large Nobel Peace conference we're planning for Israel, 15 Nobel Peace laureates. And so we will put this Holistic Peace Institute study on the table to begin the discussion. But it really is about interdependence. We're all connected. We're all interdependent. And so now's the time to create a new framework for planning peace approaches and really policy studies. And that's what what it's about.
Well, Gary, I'm delighted that we're going to spend some time together at the end of the week, Friday night at the Abu Rashid Lebanese restaurant.
Me too. You'll like the food.
And again Saturday. And the reason is I leave from Portland to go up to Victoria. And in Canada, we have our second summit. We will be 70 representatives from representing 24 countries, all calling for ministers and secretaries of peace around the world.
Mm-hmm. So this is an international movement.
Correct.
With a very specific national agenda, which is to get, again, a House bill and a Senate bill passed. And again, for anybody, your website again for this information is?
www.thepeacealliance.org.
Okay. And again, Gary, yours is?
www.holisticpeaceinstitute.com. And holistic is spelled W-H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C. And I might want to just repeat for Friday. So this Friday.
Right.
At noon, Commissioner Eric Sten about this idea of an international peace center in
Portland. Now tell us a little bit about that, since that's very local and specific that you're addressing.
Sure, and we've been working with the City of Portland. Mayor Potter actually, at our August peace lunch last year, he's very much a peace advocate, very much a man of peace. He offered to donate to the Peace Institute, we're a nonprofit, a parcel of PDC land in the downtown where we could fundraise and seek an endowment and build an international peace garden. So in working with the Gil Kelly, the City of Portland Planning Director, the last year, and a few others, we've conceived a vision of about a 1 acre personal international, kind of a contemplative peace garden around about a 1 acre Linus Pauling Square. Linus Pauling's the only Oregonian to win a Nobel Peace Prize. It would be similar in size to Pioneer Square. And then a building that would house offices for the Peace Institute as other like-minded groups, where we could, for example, bring a Nobel Peace Laureate in residence and have him or her here for 6 months out of the year, having them do work, research, talks, forums. And so it's our vision for Portland. That's our vision. So.
That must warm your heart, Dot.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Isn't it? And I can see the brochure and the visionary planning, and it really is spectacular. Mm. So Eric Sten is going to be speaking on Friday.
Noon.
But Friday evening, June 16th from 7 to 9 at the Abu Rashid Lebanese restaurant. Dot Maver, who we're speaking to, is the executive director of the Department of Peace Campaign, and the Peace Alliance is going to be speaking. And then again on Saturday, June 17th from 9 to noon at the First Unitarian Church, Fuller Hall. Now, when you're talking about domestically the Department of Peace, you're talking about developing policies and allocating resources. You're talking about child abuse and all kinds of different violence prevention. And
See. That's exactly right, Michelle. And, you know, we've got a city council campaign going throughout the country, and 15 cities have already endorsed this federal legislation. When the Detroit City Council unanimously endorsed, one of the reasons they stated afterwards they did was they realized through some of the research that we did in our presentation that up to 80% of their police runs are for domestic violence. And so to offer a level of training to our military, we're calling for a National Peace Academy, the equivalent of the war academies. To offer training to our military, to our police and firefighters, to all of our emergency service personnel throughout this country, and to our children, to those who work with youth, we know we'll make a difference, not only in the reduction of violence, but in creating a world that really works for everyone.
Oh, it'd certainly be a super and wonderfully progressive idea to have some other form of service, to be in the service of peace, would somehow, I think, resonate with many, many young people that to be in the service in general wouldn't. I think you really would have an untapped resource of people who would really like to be part of the solution and really help in that direction.
Yes, I think you're right, Michelle, and I know that there are those within our Pentagon right now who would say the same thing. And when you look at the book, The Pentagon's New Map by Tom Barnett, he's one of them who is calling for global security and domestic security, and we don't know how to do that yet because we're still working in a Cold War paradigm, basically. We haven't quite made that shift. So we think that a U.S. Department of Peace is one of those big shifting points, and thank you for giving us time to talk about it.
I might also mention that when we brought the Dalai Lama, that we brought 10,000 high school kids together to the Coliseum, and he gave them a talk on nonviolence. So we call that the Dalai Lama's Youth Summit. But the Holistic Peace Institute's been working with youth since then, and we are working now in a pilot project with Oregon Department of Education to field test a peace curriculum on Nobel Peace Laureates in 5 Oregon schools. And so we've pre- and post-tested these students. And if we can kind of demonstrate to the state of Oregon that either students feel safer or schools become safer through these teaching methods, they'll initiate some curriculum change next year.
Well,
and we are looking into starting a Holistic Peace Institute charter school that would begin to build a curriculum around really Nobel Peace Laureates in peace education. And we do know a lot of parents that are interested in this. If people want to be on our email list, we send out a monthly email list. Just email us at worldpeace@canby.com. That's just one word, worldpeace@canby.com, and we'll put you on our list.
Great.
I offer the same for the Peace Alliance, Michelle, if it's okay. Please email us at info@thepeacealliance.org. And, Gary, we've got a Student Peace Alliance just forming.
Great.
This summer, a group of them from around the country are pulling together the infrastructure. And the way we work with this whole campaign is it works kind of from the inside out. What people are excited about is what they pour their heart and soul into. So these youth, I'd like to put them in touch with you.
That'd be great. And maybe there's a way we could get some of these charter schools going in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Well, as you say, in many ways, this may be internationally an idea whose time has come.
Yes.
Because clearly the current way that we've been dealing with and handling all of the conflicts is not working. I mean, when you're talking about security and homeland security and, you know, at a time when we were just reading in the paper today that the acts of violence took a dramatic spike up. That was just released yesterday, and you know, in observing what we do, that's how we learn. And and you know, if peace is the banner, or
there's also two Nobels or one. Like there's just a real quick story, but Lech Walesa, former president of Poland, is one of the Nobels the Peace Institute has hosted. And he told me a story once where he said, you know, I went around the country for 3 years trying to convince people we could overcome communism. And after 3 years of work, I had exactly 10 people who believed me. And 1 year later, those 10 people grew to 10 million. And the only thing that changed was they picked a Polish person to be Pope. And the Polish people believe that was impossible without, in a sense, divine intervention. So that gave them the faith to believe that we could overcome communism, and I believe that faith is what propelled us forward to the disintegration of the Polish Communist Party. And Peter's story was a Methodist bishop from South Africa, and he told me a story once. He played a key role in the transition of power to Nelson Mandela. And he said they passed some peace legislation in the South African Congress years before apartheid died. And it really seemed kind of meaningless, but he did get it passed. And when the white supremacist government gave the reins of power, so to speak, to Nelson Mandela, that legislation was the key mechanism that made that allowed for a peaceful transition.
That's
Gary, I think you've just helped us getting more endorsements for the U.S. Department of Peace campaign. Thank you.
And maybe that's a case of when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Maybe this is the time that all of this hard work that both of you have done and all the people who have been involved in these acts of kindness and peace and compassion for so many years, will there be a tipping point, a turning point in understanding that to go forward, this is what we need to address.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being with us. And again, I want to remind everyone that Dot will be in town speaking on Friday. And she will be from 7 to 9 at Abu Rashid Lebanese Restaurant. Eric Sten will be addressing you Friday afternoon.
Noon.
And then Saturday, June 17th, at the First Unitarian Church. Again, all of this information from 9 to noon. And all of this information will be at the front desk at the end of the interview should anybody want or need any more information. And again, thank you both for joining us. Dot, we look forward to having you come to Portland.
Thank you, Michelle.
And thank you again, Gary, for being with us. I want to thank you both for being such great guests and being with us today and for doing all the hard work that you do on behalf of peace here and around the world. And we're all better off for your presence and to remind our listeners that peace is the presence of justice. And so we really need to work for both. This is Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland.
It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is the Tuesday morning radio zine. At 10:30, we have Stage and Studio. Hear about C.V. Vanka and Rhythmic Delights and their concert with Portland Tycho and singer and actor Jim Chan's one-man show at the Jasmine Tree Restaurant. At 11, it's Democracy Now! And right now we have Tammy Dean speaking with journalist Tom Zollner, author of The Heartless Stone, a journey through the world of diamonds, deceit, and desire.